Yesterday was a very significant day in our nation's history. We celebrate it every year as on the 4th of July, we celebrate what is known as Independence Day. A little over 230 years ago, some of the people living in a part of this country that is east of here, before some of these areas further west were discovered, y'all didn't know y'all lived in the west, did you? This is the southwest back then. Now the southwest is a long way from here, but back then this was the southwest. But those people who lived along the eastern coast and 13 of those British colonies decided that they were sick and tired of having somebody across the sea tell them how they had to live and make rules for them when they didn't get to vote on who was making those rules and so on and so forth. And so they got together and they decided, we don't want to be a part of that country anymore. We want to be our own country. You probably know enough about history to know that they succeeded in that. And today, we live in a country known as the United States of America. It's no longer a British colony or a series of British colonies. We're not under their rule anymore. But today I want us to think about a different kind of Independence Day. I want those of us who are Christians to remember back to that day when we declared our independence from Satan. When we decided that we were going to be under a new government, a government of God instead of a government of the devil. And for those of you who have not done that, I want you to think about what that would mean to you as we study through our lesson today. One of the things that we've got to realize is that regardless of how much we hate it, and I'm going to ask you a question, how many of you like the idea of being a slave or a servant? Do you like that idea? You say, you know, when I grow up, you don't hear this from kids very often, when I grow up, what I really want to do is I want to be a slave. It's not something we strive for, is it? I've got some bad news for each and every one of us here this morning. Whether we like it or not, we are slaves. We don't have a choice about being a slave. What we do have a choice about is who our master is. That's the choice we can make. We can make the choice to follow Satan and let him be our master and let him rule our lives. And he is a harsh and wicked taskmaster. And he abuses those who are under his command. Or we can make the choice that we don't want to be enslaved to him, but instead we can choose to have freedom from that and be enslaved to Jesus Christ. And he is a loving and kind master and treats us not as slaves, but as children that he loves. So the choice is ours. And as odd as it seems, considering how much we hate to be enslaved and we hate to be abused and misused, the vast majority of the people in the world we live in today choose to be enslaved to Satan rather than to be slaves to Jesus Christ. It is past time for us to declare our independence from Satan. And as our country did over 200 years ago, forge out that we're going to be under a new kind of government. And we're not going to allow that wicked ruler to rule over us any longer. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 32, Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In verse 33, the Jews who were listening to him, some of those who believed in him, answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" This has got to be one of the most ironic statements in the Bible. They say, "We've never been in bondage to any man." They said that while there were Roman soldiers walking around who occupied and controlled the nation that they lived in. Can you imagine if China captured this country and sent soldiers and sent governors to rule over America, and we said, well, we've never been in bondage to anyone, while they were all walking around with their guns and we were under their command? That's how foolish this statement is. Oh, we've never been in bondage to anyone. Well, who are all these Roman soldiers walking around here then? Who's that governor over there? Who do you have to pay your taxes to? They had to pay their taxes to the Roman government, of course. They were in bondage. They were just in denial about being in bondage. What's more is many of them were in bondage to sin. Jesus goes on to say in verse 34, because of course he's not really talking about physical bondage. He's not talking about the fact that they were under the occupation of the Roman army. He goes on to say in verse number 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin." He makes it clear to them, we're not talking about physical slavery here. We're talking about spiritual slavery. And if you live a life of sin, then you are a slave to sin. And he says, the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So he lets them know that he is the way that they can be freed from their slavery to sin. And what we need to understand is, as bad as physical slavery may seem to most of us, and we deplore it, and we talk about the evils of slavery, physical slavery has nothing as destructive as spiritual slavery is. The worst the physical slave owner can do to the slave is to destroy the body. But the spiritual slavery that many are enslaved to in sin destroys both the body and the soul. And so many follow that path. The good news for us, of course, is the fact that even if we are enslaved to sin, we can be freed from it. And one of the worst things about most physical slavery is the person who's enslaved doesn't have a choice in the matter at all. But the good news about our spiritual slavery is we get to choose who we're going to serve. In Romans chapter 6, what was read to us earlier, and we'll read a little more than that now, beginning in verse number 16, Paul says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So he says, you yield yourself. See, it's not that Satan comes in and captures us in chains and drags us off against our will. If you are enslaved to Satan this morning, if you are enslaved to sin this morning, it's because you chose to be. Now that's sad. That's sad that we would choose to serve a master who only wants to destroy us. Why would we choose that? But so many people do. They choose the master that wants to destroy them. Notice what he says. Whether of sin, if you're a servant of sin, unto death. He says, if you follow sin, if you are enslaved to sin, that's only going to lead to your death and destruction. But then he says, or of obedience unto righteousness. Do you realize how many of the problems that we have in our lives we brought upon ourselves because we chose to serve sin rather than to serve God? So many times, the mistakes that we make when we knew better, when we could have done what's right, and we have the opportunity, but we chose what seemed at the time like the easy path. Well, I don't know about you, but any time I've ever been hiking in the woods, the easy path always went downhill. The path that went up was always harder than the one that went down. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. The path that seems easy is the one that leads down to the grave. But the one that leads up to life is the hard path. And we have to choose each and every day to follow that path. Because the amazing thing about choosing to be a slave to Christ is He does not bind us with chains. He doesn't have someone standing at the gate. There's no barbed wire on the fence or razor wire keeping us in. If we want to leave, we're free to walk away. It's a voluntary slavery. So you say, well, who would volunteer to be a slave? Anyone who's ever suffered as a slave of Satan should understand why it's better to choose to be a slave to Christ and have the freedoms that He promises. Even as a slave to Him, He promises us some freedom. Verse 17, He says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." Do you realize that if you're a servant of Satan, you don't ever have to do anything good? You can just do any bad thing you want to all the time, and He wants you to. You're free from doing good. But He goes on to say, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Oh yeah, you can follow Satan, but if you do, and when you have in your life followed Satan, have you ever done things that you're now ashamed of? Now think about it on the other side. At times when you have done things that were right, when you have done the righteousness that God commands of us, do you ever feel ashamed of those things? There's a difference there. When we're doing what's right, we don't feel ashamed. But when we're doing those things that are wrong, at the time, they may seem pleasant. They may seem pleasurable. We may think, well, it's my right. It's my life. I'll live it how I want to. But later on, we're going to be ashamed of what we did. We're going to suffer the consequences of that, if we don't get out of that servitude, we're eventually going to die. He goes on to say then, in verse number 22, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life." So now we have life to look forward to instead of death. If we will be obedient to Christ, if we will be His slave, it will end in eternal life. But if we want to be slaves to sin and to our own selfish desires and do what I want to do and not listen to Him, then that leads to death and destruction, eternal separation from God. Verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If we follow Satan, we'll get what we've earned. If we follow God, we'll get gifts and rewards far and away above what we could have earned. But it's our choice. What will we do? Jesus came to set us free. But it's our choice whether we follow Him or not. Whether we choose to do what He wants us to do, or continue thinking, oh, well, I'll do what I want to do. What do you need to be set free from? Some of us perhaps said, oh, I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And we obeyed from the heart that doctrine that was delivered to us, as he mentions there in verse 16. But perhaps after that time, Satan got a foothold again. Now, Satan doesn't give up. He never quits. He's always out there looking to see who he can find, how he can weasel his way in and gain control over their lives again. Our own selfish desires are helping him out, because sometimes we are looking for ways to please the flesh. And if we do that, we'll again become entangled and enslaved by that sin. Remember what Jesus said there in John 8. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Now that doesn't mean that each time we've ever done something wrong, we were automatically slaves to sin and under Satan's power again. We talked about a little bit in class this morning that as we're walking in the light, we still may occasionally commit a sin, but we don't continue committing sin. We don't live in sin. We're not walking in sin. But Jesus talks about the fact that if we're walking in that sin, we're enslaved to it. Today is a good day for us to once again, just as we celebrated yesterday our country's independence, and we're reminded of the freedom and the sacrifice that was made for those freedoms, why don't we think spiritually now about the ways where we are giving up some of our spiritual freedoms to Satan and maybe have slid back into those old ways of thinking that we had before Christ set us free. It's so easy for us to get caught up in those things again. Declare your independence today. What is it that's in your life that you need to declare your independence from? Maybe you were set free from the sins of lying or gossiping or cursing. Jesus set you free, but you've allowed yourself to get entangled in those things again. Perhaps you were set free from sexual sins that you had engaged in, but you allowed yourself to get entangled again. Perhaps you were set free from problems with stewardship, like we talked about in our class this morning. And it may be money, it may be time, it may be your family, it may be any number of areas of your life. We talked about the stewardship covers every area of life in one way or another. But if you've lost those freedoms and you've gotten back enslaved to the things of this world rather than using those things for Christ, remember 1 Peter 2 and verse 16 tells us, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Just because we're freed from the laws of Satan doesn't mean we're free and it's total anarchy and there's no law and no rules. When those 13 colonies worked to free themselves from British rule, they didn't do that so that they could have total anarchy and anybody could just do anything they wanted to do. They did that so that they could set up a better system of government, a better set of laws and rules that would be more equitable and more just for everyone. That was their goal. That was at least the words that they said that they were trying to accomplish. Well, when we free ourselves from Satan, it's not just so that we can do whatever we want to do, because the fact of the matter is, when we're doing whatever we want to do, we're still enslaved to Satan. Even if we think we're not. There are only two wills in this world, and I've talked about this before, I know. There are only two wills. Everybody thinks, well, it's my will. There are only two. There's God's will and the devil's will. And if you're not following God's will, it doesn't matter whose will you want to call it, it's the devil's. It's just like counterfeit money. There's only one real money. There may be 5,000 different counterfeit ones. Hundreds of different people may be making different counterfeit bills, and each one may look different from each other one. But there's only one that's the real thing. We need to be sure we understand that. Galatians 5:1 tells us, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." See, Jesus loves us, and He came to set us free from sin. But He's not going to forcibly remove us from Satan's camp. If we're willing to leave, He will gladly guide us out. But if we want to stay, He'll let us stay. I can't for the life of me imagine why we would want to stay in Satan's camp. We sang the song at times. It's number 198 in our songbook. It says, "Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood." The second verse says, Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. The third verse says, "Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood." And the chorus, of course, says, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." Would you like to be free from your sin today? Even if you have already become a Christian but have become entangled again, you can still get back into that pure relationship with God. You can allow that blood to wash you free once again, wash you clean once again. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you are a servant, a slave to Satan. And his sole purpose in your life is to destroy you any way he can. And if he's kept you from being a Christian, he's succeeded up to this point. Don't let him have that power over you. Declare your independence from him. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who came and lived and died and was buried and rose again for you. Believing that, repent of your sins. Determine you're going to break the shackles of sin and be free from them. Confess Jesus as the Christ and be buried with him in baptism to wash those sins away. If you're here and you are a Christian, you don't necessarily need to be baptized again. God has a second plan for those who have once obeyed that form of doctrine, and that is to come repenting. Repenting of those sins, confessing them, and then praying for Jesus' blood to wash you clean again. Whichever case may be the case with you, if you have a need to respond, we ask that you would do so as we stand and as we sing.